This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a day of rejoicing as we gather together to worship God, both here in the sanctuary and those who are joining us by live stream. We are connected in Christ's Holy Spirit, and it is wonderful to be with all of you. We are gathering with new guidelines and protocols this morning. Our task force for reopening has given us the go-ahead to remove our masks if we are vaccinated. And so there are many of us here in the sanctuary who are not wearing our masks today. We recognize that all of our children 12 and under have no opportunity yet to be vaccinated. So many of us adults will also be wearing masks so we can be close to them and be in solidarity with them. But we're excited about new signs of opening and hope as we move forward into the summer. We wanted you to know also that all of us who are worship leaders and all of your clergy and pastoral staff have been fully vaccinated. So we wanted to make sure that everyone knew that and felt comfortable with that. Some announcements for the days ahead as we gather. Next Sunday, our summer Sunday school begins. For our children, 2 and under, we will have childcare available both during the 8:45 service and during the Sunday school hour. And then for children over 2, they will be welcome to the playground starting at 9:45 for the Sunday school hour. Our youth will be doing hybrid Sunday school. Those who wish to be here in person will be gathering in the youth area, and others can join by live stream, and we've got technology to make that happen. And the same goes for adults. We're welcoming Dr. Matthew Charlton, who will be leading us in teaching throughout the summer, and we can gather in the theater, or if you have a Sunday school class, your classes can gather in your classrooms, and you can also join by way of live stream to participate in that adult Sunday school offering. Next Sunday, we have church members Don and Kathy Barnett who are inviting us to join with them in being more aware of gun violence in our community and being prayerful about bringing an end to gun violence. And they are inviting us to wear orange to support those prayers and that effort next Sunday. We have a group starting up called Creative Hands for those who are interested in knitting, stitching, and fellowship. They will meet in person this Tuesday, June 1st at 2:30 in room 305. It's open to anyone. If you don't know how to stitch or knit, they'll teach you, and they'll bring you supplies for beginners, and it's a great time for fellowship and learning new things. Let's see, what else? I think that's it as far as the announcement I have. This weekend, we celebrate two different kinds of holidays. In our nation, this is Memorial Day weekend, the day when we remember those who have lost their lives to the violence of war. In the church, this is Trinity Sunday, a Sunday when we celebrate the love of God that's being eternally shared between Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. And so with all of that on our hearts and minds, let us join together in worshiping our God, the three in one, this day.
Jesus Christ, be present now.
Thank you. of the three in one. Let us shape a space that weaves the three through our life and our worship.
Let us welcome love and relationship, bread of heaven, and the breath of life.
Let us shape a space for the many faces of God revealed in each of us.
Let us welcome God among us as we worship together.
We are never alone in our sin and guilt, for God created us and loves us unconditionally. Christ has redeemed us and defeated sin and death. And the Holy Spirit is at work in our lives and in our world, making all things new. Therefore, let us confess our sins before our triune God, trusting in God's love, God's grace, and God's power. We confess that we are too easily distracted by our own temporary concerns. We embrace pleasures that do not satisfy and nurture helplessness amid our anxieties. In so doing, we miss the signs of your presence, your joy in the gift of love, your hope in the midst of suffering. Teach us to awaken to your arrival in our lives. Transform our frailty by your power, our afflictions by your healing, our failings by your grace. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "You are a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the serpents in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'm going to take a special moment to spend with the children, both those who are here and those who are worshiping at home. Hopefully one of these days soon we'll be able to gather back up here, but I can see you and I can imagine you through the camera, so I'm glad to have a little minute with you this morning. How many of you have ever memorized a Bible verse? Yeah, lots of people here have memorized a Bible verse. One of my favorites and one of the easiest ones to memorize is two words, Jesus wept. So that's one. And that's an important one, too, because it reminds us that Jesus had feelings and that he cried, too, like we cry sometimes. But one of the most memorized verses in all of the Bible is one that Mr. Brandt just read, John 3:16. Some of you can say it with me. Now, we may say it in the King James Version or the Revised Standard Version or the New Revised Standard Version, but let's see if we can say it together in whatever version you memorized it. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. My favorite part of that verse is the very beginning. God so loved the world. God loves the whole world. God loves the world so much that God gave God's very self in Jesus to be with us. So that's a reminder to me that God loves each and every one of us, and God loves everyone unconditionally, and God loves this whole world so much. And God is with us in everything. So when you go home, if you don't know that verse by heart yet, ask your parents and maybe they can help you learn it too. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for loving us. And not just loving us, and not just loving our family, and not just loving the church, but loving everybody and loving the whole universe. Thank you for Jesus, who helps to show the world your love. And thank you for the Holy Spirit that helps us feel and share your love. May we receive and give your love today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when I learned that verse in Vacation Bible School when I was a child, what I didn't learn was when Jesus said it and to whom he said it. Every verse that we memorize has a context, has a story that goes all around it. And John 3:16 is something that Jesus said in the middle of a conversation. He was talking to a Pharisee named Nicodemus. Now, to get a little bit of the context of this conversation, I want to back up a little bit. John's gospel is very different from the other three gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of Jesus. Most of it happens in Galilee, up north. And then at the end of the gospel, Jesus makes one trip to Jerusalem, and that's where he gets in trouble with the religious authorities and is ultimately crucified and rises from the dead. But in John's gospel, Jesus makes several trips to Jerusalem. And his first trip to Jerusalem is right at the very beginning in chapter 2 of John's gospel. And right at the beginning of the gospel, Jesus goes into the temple in Jerusalem and turns over the tables and stirs up all kinds of trouble. And it's after that happens in chapter 2 that Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader of the Jewish people, a member of the Sanhedrin, the high council, comes to talk to Jesus. I would imagine that most of Nicodemus's colleagues are not happy with Jesus at this point. He's already on their radar. He's already a threat. They're already talking about ways to get rid of him. But for some reason, Nicodemus has a different attitude about Jesus. He comes to Jesus at night because there's so much at stake for him. He has a lot to lose. If his colleagues in the Sanhedrin were to see him talking with Jesus, he might lose his status, he might lose respect in the community, he might lose his job. And yet he goes anyway. He goes to Jesus under the cover of night because it seems that Nicodemus has seen something in Jesus that is of God. He sees that God is at work in this man named Jesus. And he says so at the very beginning of the conversation. He says, "We know that you have come from God because of the amazing works that you do." Now, I don't know if Nicodemus is just speaking for himself and saying "we," or if there are others of his colleagues who sent Nicodemus on their behalf. But he begins by saying, "I recognize the Spirit of God at work in you." And then Jesus engages him in this conversation that is confusing. It's confusing to Nicodemus. It's confusing to me. He and Nicodemus seem to be talking about different things. Because Jesus starts to say, if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born anew, born from above, born again. And Nicodemus is just thinking literally. He says, oh, I'm supposed to go back into my mother's womb and be born again physically? And Jesus says, no, you need to be born of the Spirit. And even so, after more conversation with Jesus, Nicodemus doesn't seem to get it. The last thing we hear him say in this story is, how can these things be? He's left confused and doubting and questioning, and then he just sort of fades from the story for a while. And many of us, too, are left confused and wondering, what is Jesus talking about? What does it mean to be born from above, to be born again? Now, there's one school of thought in our Christian family that talks about being born again in a particular way, that there's a moment in our lives, these friends would say, when you accept Jesus, when you are converted, when you have a 180-degree turn and you become a new person in Christ. And there are many people who can point to the day when that happened in their lives. And it does happen that way for many people. I remember meeting a pastor in South Africa whose story of conversion was more amazing than any I had ever heard before. He shared with us how early in his life he was not a nice person. And he eventually ended up in prison for theft. And it was one day in his prison cell when someone had brought him a Bible. And he was reading the Bible by himself when he felt the Spirit of God and the love of God claiming him and forgiving him and loving him. And he got down on his knees and he gave his life to God. And as he left prison, he felt this nudging of the Spirit to go and knock on the door of a church. And so he did. And the pastor opened the door and said, I've been waiting for you. I was praying this morning and God nudged me and said, there's someone coming today who needs a companion. I'd never heard a story like that before, of that kind of radical conversion of someone's life, and two people brought together by the Holy Spirit who could then walk forward in the faith, and both of them became involved in the struggle against apartheid and helped to transform that country. So it happens that way sometimes, that kind of rebirth. But for many of us, myself included, it's not quite so radical. It's not quite that 180-degree change experience. Like many of you, I was baptized as a baby. And when we baptize a baby in this congregation, we place the water on their heads, and we baptize them. And then as a congregation, we pray for the Holy Spirit to work within them, that being born through water and the Spirit, they may become a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, in order to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born of water and the Spirit. And that's what we believe happens in baptism, even the baptism of a baby. So that's the beginning, the initiation of this journey. And maybe what Jesus is inviting us into in this conversation with Nicodemus is to consider being born again and again and again, teaching us that the Holy Spirit will continually renew us and change us and stretch us. No, Nicodemus, you don't have to go back into your mother's womb, but you do have to repeatedly unlearn a few things and let go of some things. And maybe the journey of faith is about unlearning in order to be reborn. One of my dearest friends is a professor in the religion department at Belmont University. And she invites me from time to time to come and speak to her students. I think she wants them to see a woman preacher, that we really do exist. Some of the students have never experienced a woman pastor. But she invites me to tell my story, and I've realized the way that I've organized the telling of my story is around these moments of unlearning. These experiences in my life which have caused me to let go of what I thought I knew about God, in order to embrace a deeper understanding, a broader understanding of God's love. I share the story of the boy I dated in high school. And up until then, I had this understanding of God, of everything happens for a reason, and God sort of makes everything happen in our lives. And then when this boy I was dating suddenly died in a car accident, all of those ideas of how I thought God worked dissolved. I had a deep, abiding sense of God's love and God's presence that was unshaken, but my understanding about God's will changed. And then I went off to college and became friends with people of other faiths, friends who were Jewish and Buddhist and agnostic, and I began to consider that perhaps God was even bigger than my understanding of who God was. I could tell story after story, and I'm still learning and being stretched and unlearning and having to let go of what I thought I knew. If you're like me, and your journey has been one of being renewed again and again and again, then we have our patron saint in Nicodemus. When we leave him in this moment in the third chapter of John, he's, scratching his head. He doesn't know what to do with what Jesus has said. And he leaves by night. But he comes back again, two more times in the gospel. He comes back again a few chapters later when the Sanhedrin is meeting and they're talking about arresting Jesus and getting rid of Jesus. And Nicodemus stands up to speak. And he says, is it in our law to condemn someone before they have had a trial? It's not the most radical thing to say. It's not the boldest thing he could have done, but it's a step. It's greater courage, and he's speaking out on Jesus' behalf in the daylight in front of the Sanhedrin. And then at the end of the gospel, it is Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea who take Jesus' body off the cross and anoint him for burial like a family member would do. By the end of the story, it seems Nicodemus, in broad daylight, is claiming Jesus as his Savior. His is a journey, a gradual awakening. And no doubt, even by the end of the Gospel of John, it's not over. There is more that he will learn and more ways that he will have to unlearn. So in some ways, it's good news and bad news that God is not finished with us yet. It feels like bad news sometimes because there's more growing to do. There's more work that needs to be done. God is going to continue to stretch us and challenge us, not just as individuals, but as a church and as a denomination and as a society. Our work is not done. We have to continue the work. But the good news is that God isn't finished with us yet. We are not who we once were. Thanks be to God. And we are not yet who we will be. Thanks be to God. God is with us all the way. Amen.
And hearing that word, let us respond by our affirmation, by affirming our faith using number 883 in the hymnal, A Statement of Faith, the United Church of Canada. If you would, please stand. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the world, flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team, to the pastoral team throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us and on our website. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of the weary, God of the silent and silenced, God who faithfully journeys with us, God, keep us forever on the path of Christ-likeness, we pray. It is in this sacred space that we first simply offer two words, and that is thank you. We thank you, O God, because when looking down through the corridors of history, you have kept us between the pages of grace and mercy. Even in a world that continues to promote injustice and oppression against the marginalized and the unheard, you have still kept us. And in this space, O God, we realize that we are standing on the shoulders of those who came before and the answered prayers of those who one day saw freedom for all from afar. For many of us, it has not been easy. We have had more questions than answers, but yet, God, let us never lose our faith and hope in you. Again, God, it is in this moment that we come and bring all of who we are. We come with our questions. We come with our answers, with our fears, with our anger, with our hurt, with our love, and with our joy. God, in this moment and for the rest of our days, let us always seek your guidance and be continuously renewed by your strength. Continue to show us who we are and that we are made in the image of you. Remind us that our stories are not over yet. Challenge us to be more loving, more understanding, and more caring. May we always be aware of your presence and be reminded that we are loved. God, be in front of us to guide us, behind us to protect us, above us to cover us, below us to uplift us, on our left and our right to walk beside us, and most of all, be inside of us to give us peace and strength. Let us always honor the sacredness of who you are and continue to fill us with your grace, peace, and love as we lift up this prayer that was taught to us by Jesus, our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, as we prepare to give our tithes and offering, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or the chat. For those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex and at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us offer our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you.
my friends, may we go from this time together to continue the journey of learning to love more deeply God and neighbor, knowing that the God who loves us is not finished with us yet. And may that give us joy and hope and peace. Amen.